Amazing grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Amen. I have a confession to make. After weeks of hard sayings by Jesus in Luke's gospel, I was thrilled to see that the gospel for my preaching week was two simple, familiar, lost and found parables. Yes! God is the good shepherd who leaves the 99 to find one lost sheep and brings him back on his shoulders for rejoicing. God is the woman who sweeps and never gives up looking for that lost coin. God throws a party in heaven, and the angels sing to celebrate all that is found. Seeking, finding, restoring to wholeness is how God helps those willing to be found. This is the image of God we love. God is the good shepherd. God will never give up on us. Amen. The end. Well, not really. Because in Scripture, there is always more. The thrilling thing about Scripture for me is that it is alive. It is alive from its beginning to now, with every twist and turn in between. It is so alive that it can withstand and outlast any interpretive mess I or we might make of it. And it holds itself open for us to find the truth. It is alive now, if we will let it enter into who we are now and how we are trying to live our lives. So let's ask these simple little parables some questions about lost and found and rejoicing. Well, what do we today know about lost? We know a lot. I'm the youngest of three, and when I was a very little girl, I remember that my family drove somewhere to help another family sort through the rubble of their house that had been lost in a large fire that burned a whole neighborhood. I remember the sound. The woman, my mother's friend, fell to her knees and cried out in a sound that scared me because I couldn't tell if it was a good or bad sound. She found her wedding ring. She had set it on the windowsill in the kitchen to do the dishes. There was no windowsill. There was no kitchen. She found it buried in ash. And it's the sound I remember most of deep, lost grief and deep, found joy all mixed together. Of more recent losses, I'm haunted by the pictures of the dive boat fire and the pictures from the Bahamas. I mean, a whole island essentially shredded. And this past week, we felt again the losses of 9/11, losses we still feel, of people, places, and who we thought we were as a country. Lost things, lost people, lost places, lost connections with ourselves and with God. Lost from God. To be spiritually lost is a deep and lonely place to be. It's a lonely place because the connection to God matters so much to us. Many are astonished to learn that in the journals recovered after the death of Mother Teresa, she wrote at length about the agony of not being able in the last many years of her life to sense God's presence, and that the loneliness of that loss was almost too much to bear. We know a lot about loss. I think we know a lot less about found. What does it mean to be found? I think we need a better word than found. Found sounds done, complete, finished. But we know that isn't how our lives work. The hard part, the real work, comes after being found. And so, with apologies to English teachers, I think we are not found, but in finding. We are in a continual process of finding. We get lost or derailed by our emotions, our reactions, our doubts and distrust, and we lose God. And then after finding God's grace, we get lost again, only to be in finding again. And I think Jesus loves this. Jesus loves the living process we are in together. So Jesus picks up that smelly sheep stuck in the brambles and clears away the thorns and hoists that sheep up onto his shoulders and holds its feet together close around his neck like a scarf or a toddler. And I'm sure that that sheep bleated and had a lot to say all the way back to the hillside as part of this process of lost and finding. Now, some scholars think these parables are not about lost and found at all, but about rejoicing. Jesus is expansive about rejoicing over the found, that is, the sinner, that is, us. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So there is huge, huge joy in heaven. Over what? Over one sinner. One of us. When we do what? When we turn and allow ourselves to be found. When we take that first step, when we reach out ever so slightly, when we repent and try again. Jesus says our simplest tentative efforts to call out to God cause the heavens to burst out in song. Why? Heaven cheers for the finding, but heaven also shouts encouragement for the hard part, for what comes after the finding, for living out in faith. What matters, according to Jesus, is not how righteous we are, or how good we've been, or even how well we've served, but what is in our hearts. And there is joy in heaven for our efforts. Heaven rejoices when you finally look up a church on the internet and you find the address of St. Francis, and then you finally get in the car and you drive over here. And then you tiptoe in to sit in the back. Hosanna! Heaven, or when you boldly walk in and thought you'd check it out, and then suddenly begin to cry. Hosanna! Heaven rejoices when you catch yourself making fun of someone or something, and you recognize that this is a cover for a longing in your own heart. And you share this truth with someone, and God's grace finds you, and you release the judgment of the other. Hosanna. Heaven rejoices when you stop to help that person and you didn't even think about it, and you have become the one doing the finding, and they are the one being found. Hosanna. Heaven rejoices when you show up and stand with this community and say the words in the hope that they will mean something to you again as you keep finding and trying in faith. Hosanna. I think the important thing about all this rejoicing is that it celebrates a beginning and not an ending or something completed. And it's important to get that cheering in our ears and to summon it up whenever we need it. It's not an accident that 12-step programs created by Bill W. to model the way Jesus transforms sinners celebrate and applaud, bake cakes, and cheer a lot. They cheer to celebrate the step taken, walking in the door, or 6 months, or 25 years. But they also cheer to encourage and cheer on what is to come next, because they know that the next, the living out, the continual finding, is hard. So where are you today? Are you lost, or found, or in finding, or rejoicing? Maybe you don't know, and that's okay. Because the truth is, we don't know all the ways that we have been finding God until we look back on our lives and can see the events that now make sense but did not at the time. And these simple little parables, illustrated in pastels in storybooks, can speak to us as adults who live not in pastels, but in harsh, clashing colors and ragged edges. Scripture is alive, and it points us toward the understanding that as Christians, we are in a continually moving and shifting process of losing and finding, knowing and not knowing, lost and being found, loving and being loved. The only real sin, Jesus tells us, is distinguishing ourselves as superior, not needing God the way real sinners do. It's that arrogance that Jesus condemns, not our being lost or confused or angry or afraid. Lost, confused, angry, or afraid are in fact open opportunities to turn once again to the love of God. So let's rejoice with heaven in our ups and downs, in our willingness to be found, as we are hoisted onto God's shoulders, wrap our arms around God's neck, and loudly sing Amazing Grace. Amen.